Welcome back in, hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well out there. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025.
I'd like to, on my own personal text line, Sean Henry making the case for Phil Sims to be in. Also that he and Eli a package deal for the Hall of Fame. And by the way, speaking of the Henry family, after I tweeted out a picture of Brennan in his Lions gear, yeah, his Stafford jersey, like, what are you doing? And Tracy Henry tweeted out a pic of one of their kids also doing the same thing. So. Yeah. And of course,
she's
from the Detroit area. So yeah, a lot of, and that's, you know what, that's still better than these ridiculous Detroit Rams shirts.
Detroit, I have not seen this.
Oh, you haven't seen this?
No.
Oh,
so like Lions fans combining with the,
oh, they're all over Detroit.
Oh boy,
no, they're all over like sporting goods stores in Michigan. Detroit Rams. No,
can't have that.
You can be happy for Matthew Stafford, but no. No.
We're not doing Detroit Rams.
You don't get that. You don't get that. No, no, sorry. Detroit Rams.
Oh, boy.
Go get a Michigan Panthers shirt.
Yeah.
Signed by Jeff Fisher.
Yeah, go get a Jeff Fisher fathead of Michigan Panthers and put it up on your wall.
That's what
you
need, baby. USFL forever.
Did you see the – I know you did because you retweeted it. Now your mentions are crap. The back and forth last night between Jeffrey Simmons and Quentin Spain. So Quentin Spain, fresh off of losing the Super Bowl, is going back and forth to Jeffrey Simmons last night. Simmons started this. So Jeffrey Simmons on Twitter last night says, quote, "Damn, 67," end quote, was the tweet from Jeffrey Simmons last night. Talking, of course, about Quentin Spain.
Did he tag him?
He just said.
And so Quentin Spain was out looking for it.
Quentin Spain was out looking for it. And, you know, obviously Quentin Spain's been – we've talked a lot about Quentin Spain here on the show the last 3 weeks. Lots of presence on social media, obviously former Titan. And all of a sudden, him and Jeffrey Simmons just start going back at it last night. The first response from Quentin Spain was, "Don't damn me. I know you were watching the whole game waiting for me to mess up, and next time just at me, okay, like I did you." It's coming from Quentin Spain. And then Jeffrey Simmons responds with a crying Jordan meme standing out in the rain. It's just back and forth. The most recent tweet I saw, and I think it's been left alone from here. I guess Jeffrey Simmons went to sleep last night. But the last one I saw from Quentin Spain was, quote, "Where are you training at this offseason so I can pull up and see what all this talk is about?" This coming from Quentin Spain to Jeffrey Simmons. To which my first thought is, yeah, Quentin Spain, I don't think you want to do that. I don't think that'd be a battle that you would enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, as players, there's no compare. I mean, Jeffrey Simmons is a great player. He's coming to his own as one of the top D tackles in the league. Quentin Spain is holding on to a job. And actually, this would be amazing. Well, they play next year.
They do.
I don't know what Quentin Spain's status is, but I would think that the Bengals would like to upgrade from Quentin Spain.
Maybe their entire offensive line could be different?
Yeah, there could be a lot of changes. So I don't know that we're going to get to see. In terms of player, there's no comparison here. It's not close. I mean, Quentin Spain, again, you know, he was okay here. He was okay in Buffalo. He's okay with the Bengals. Pretty good run blocker. Not, you know, he struggles in pass pro. And he got smoked by, you know, the best player in football.
He's free agent
on the last play. He's a free agent. Yeah. Well, how about a little reunion?
Come on. Yeah, get him in here. I can promise you one place Quentin Spain's not going to play next year, and it's going to be here.
I mean, there was some good Roger Saffold, Jeff Simmons scraps. Not full on scraps, but some pushing and shoving and some, you know, some intensity in training camp. Imagine Quentin Spain. Now, look, I don't know. You know, Jeffrey Simmons, I'd say, is in much better shape, but I don't know for sure that if they actually got in a fight that, like, Simmons would win. I would pick him. He'd probably be like a – what would the odds be on that?
I don't know.
But I don't – you know, who knows? You never know. Someone can be, you know, not great
I mean,
at their
in
sport
fairness,
or not in great shape and could be a good fighter.
We've not seen Quentin Spain in much physical contact this year. It's mostly just like, kind of like the Ole move of, oh, God, man. He went right around me again. He just hit my quarterback again. Goodness, what's going on over here?
And he tweeted in this. He's like, he said that Simmons was trying to like avoid him in the Titans.
Yeah,
game.
He's like, yeah, Jeffrey Simmons scared to death of Quentin Spain out there. Okay.
Wow. My goodness.
What? Because that's what you study the tape, and I know he's three sacks in at that point. If you're Jeffrey Simmons I got to stay away from 67 over there.
As long as I can avoid him, I got a chance to have a little pass rush in this game. Yeah, okay.
Quinn Spain's only 30 years old. I thought he's been around longer than that.
44?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, how did this start again? Remember, it was Quentin Spain tweeted. He tweeted at, did he tag him?
Yeah. I don't even remember what he said, but he tagged Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah. Need the whole history on this. Well, this could be, my mentions continue to be a mess, and it's my fault because I had to retweet the Jordan crying. So I just thought it was so funny.
What are people arguing about in your mentions?
Well, now it's like Titans fans saying, ha-ha, you're 0-3. In the Super Bowl, and the Bengals fans saying, yeah, well, at least we got there three times. You got there once. And I'm sure there's like some poverty franchise thrown out. And just you got a bunch of, so I got your Titans mama here is all of a sudden just take it and eat it, throwing L's. Then you got this guy with throwing L's. You got Oprah, loser, a lot of memes. It's just a mess. And, now they're accusing each other of doing drugs and whatever, Twitter fan.
Great time on Twitter.
Yeah. All because I had to retweet Jeffrey Simmons with the crying Jordan. I just thought that was, the whole thing was kind of funny.
So do we think that the Titans-Bengals rivalry, which obviously when you lose in a playoff game to a team, that starts to fuel a rivalry one way. But now that the trash talk going on between Simmons and Quentin Spain and the Bengals talking about the Titans being scared after the game, do we think we're now in the beginning stages of maybe a new rivalry in the AFC for the Titans for the next few years?
Well, can the Titans make it that? Can the Titans be at the level that would make that possible? By the way, in those mentions, there was a Titans fan who said, you're not going to make the playoffs in the next 10 years to the Bengals fan. So, hey, I think you might. You
might be off on that.
A little off there. So the Bengals already have great rivals, and usually they're on the other end of things. The Steelers. I mean, that's a big rivalry. The Steelers have dominated, and of course they have the Browns, which the Browns actually kicked their butt this year. But hey, they got the Super Bowl, so they have built-in rivals, long-term storied rivalries. And you could look at moving forward that like Bengals Chiefs might be more of a rivalry. Bengals Bills. I mean, who's going to be at the top of the AFC in the next few years? I will say, There was a lot of talk, and this always happens too. It happened with Mahomes, and I was probably doing it a lot more then. But this guy's gonna be back so many times. Like if you right now had to guess, Joe Burrow wins no rings or three rings. What's your guess?
I would say more likely no rings, but he's gonna win one.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I
think three's a lot.
He might win one or two. But, they're just going to be back there year after year. Yeah, it's not that simple. But you get that guy in offensive line, I think you're going to like the results, and they're going to win a lot of games in Cincinnati. I think they're going to be one of the better AFC teams. I mean, their defense is a lot better than I thought it was.
I was blown away yesterday by the Rams' just total inability to run the ball. They could not run the ball at all in that game.
I was, too. That's one of the things I thought that would make a difference for them. And I don't know. Does that have anything to do with Beckham? I don't know. They just got beat up front. And Akers didn't look as good as he has looked in some of these playoff games. But again, the Bengals deserve a lot of credit. If they're going to be a rival with the Titans, that means to me the Titans are going to stay relevant and up near the top of the AFC. And that's far from a sure thing at this point.
It's far from a sure thing. But if you told me next year the Titans win the AFC South and they're hosting a playoff game again, I mean, you're right there at that point.
Yeah. And if they play the Bengals again in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think, Bengals? Get big 67 back?
Get him back in there.
On a cheaper deal? And, you can't replace everybody.
Ask him to try to, potentially block someone this year? Be good stuff. It was amazing. Just as the game wore on last night, you're watching the replay. And it's, usually when the quarterback gets sacked, it's usually, one guy gets beat on the edge or there's pressure up the middle. It's one thing kind of leading to the sack. The entire line just caving in last night, left and right. I mean, guys getting beat all over the place. Yeah. There's five Rams in the backfield just looking at Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Everyone just getting torched.
Especially early in the second half when, obviously you have the big play, then you have the pick off the Skowron's hands.
Yeah.
And the Rams' defense, there was a ton on them as the Rams struggled to do anything offensively, and that's where they were just caving in that offensive line. But, again, that's also a go-for-it thing with them. I mean, the Von Miller acquisition turns out to be great to pair him with Floyd. You know, I mean, A'shaun Robinson's a good player in there with Aaron Donald. So they were a superstar team that got the job done.
When we come back, we'll get into maybe some potential quarterback news in the AFC South. And this could be pretty interesting in how and what it means for Titans fans coming up here in the next few months. We'll get to that coming up on the other side. Nashville hockey is coming to Music City for the NHL Stadium Series game. And to celebrate, FanDuel Sportsbook giving all customers a $10 bonus when you bet at least $20 on any NHL game from February 15th to the 18th. Plus, you'll be automatically entered to win two free tickets to the Stadium Series game as well. So don't miss your chance to watch the Nashville Predators take on the Tampa Bay Lightning at the first ever outdoor NHL game in Tennessee. You can enter today by betting at least $20 on any eligible NHL game, like the Preds taking on the Capitals coming up tomorrow, or the Preds and Hurricanes later this week on February the 18th. I like the Preds to respond tomorrow and get a win against Washington, but you take it any way you want to take it. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up using promo code Rob. FanDuel Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max bonus of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every single day. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2 coming up to begin the 8 o'clock hour, so looking forward to that conversation with him. Joe, we've talked a lot about quarterbacks this offseason and some interesting rumblings over the weekend on both. You know, Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport and Chris Mortensen putting out yesterday that looks like the Packers are willing to pony up and pretty much do whatever it takes to keep Aaron Rodgers as quarterback in Green Bay. Now, Rodgers has still not made a decision, so we'll see what happens on that front. But for the first time that I can remember, the Packers have apparently said that they'll give him as long of a contract as he wants. So that part of it at least has changed from the Packers side of things. We'll see what happens on that front. There was a report that maybe the Colts could be interested in looking elsewhere for their quarterback this offseason. Obviously, Carson Wentz. We had Stephen Older on a few weeks ago talking about the contract situation for Wentz, what the possibilities were at the quarterback position for the Colts, and as Stephen Holder explained, it's really not that big a deal financially for the Colts to get out from underneath Carson Wentz this year if they were to pursue a different option at quarterback. Chris Ballard has not been very glowing in terms of his endorsements for Carson Wentz this offseason at all, and it looks like that here in the next few weeks they may make a decision to move on from Carson Wentz and pursue other options at the quarterback position. What do you make of that report, and what do you think the options are for the Colts? Are they swinging for Russell Wilson? Is it Aaron Rodgers? Or are they drafting someone? What do we think happens at the quarterback position? What's your read on all this coming out of Indy?
Well, to me, do you make that move unless you are going after the big swing? I mean, look, I understand Carson Wentz made some crucial killer mistakes, lost some games to them, lost the last game, and that's something that, again, that's your last, kind of like Tannehill, you know, your last glimpse of the guy is just like, ugh, you know, and that was just purely, it's an inept performance from him and a lot of other Colts in that game. But he also won some games for them. I mean, it's not like, if you look at his entire season, it's not like it was all terrible. You can do worse. You can do a lot worse than Carson Wentz. So if you make that move, then you're not doing that to draft someone, are you? I mean, again, they have the money to keep Carson Wentz. And by the way, real quick before you answer that, Zach Kiefer, my colleague at The Athletic, I'll tell you his tweet in response to the Chris Mortensen report. He said, the vibe he's gotten the last few weeks is money won't be the deciding factor here. In other words, if the Colts decide to move on from Wentz, they'll eat the 15 mil, no problem. The 15 mil, of course, is before March 19th.
Yep.
You know, that's when that becomes guaranteed. So even if they don't do it within a month here, they may do it. But I don't see how you do that unless you're going for, like, the top shelf guy.
I would think so. Who's that guy? We don't even know that Russell Wilson's available.
Why not?
Aaron Rodgers. Like, I don't know. Like, it's
if your guy's staying in Green Bay, then I guess there's one guy.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know. This is just – it's a, you know, Chris Mortensen came out with this report, and the report was, you know, probably be traded or released by March 18th. And, you know, the salary was a part of that, and obviously, you know, they would like to trade him. According to Mortensen, they'd like to trade him and somebody take on the full salary, which I don't know who's doing that in the NFL. Like, who's trading for Carson Wentz? I mean, like, yep, bring it on. Give me that salary. Yeah. Let's do it.
Gotta have him. So well, Jared has a list of teams that badly want Tannehill.
Too. Carson Wentz, quarterback of the Tampa Bay Bucks, charging ahead to the Super Bowl. Which,
Champa
by the way,
Bay. Champa Bay continues.
Which, by the way, speaking of them, reports out there that they're not closing the door on Brady coming back either. Which I guess they shouldn't, based on some of the comments that he's had. So, pretty crazy weekend in the quarterback world.
Yeah,
I just for the Colts part of this. I mean, I guess you're taking a shot at Russell Wilson or an Aaron Rodgers, because if you're not, I don't know who's out there that is really that big of a difference from Carson Wentz. Like, you're going to go grit Jameis Winston, bring him in? I mean, the upside's probably higher. Like, you talk about, you know, Carson Wentz throwing some disastrous interceptions. I present to you Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
How's that going to go?
Yeah, I mean, maybe better, but maybe. But that's not a bad name to produce. As you're looking around, I mean, look, I thought the Colts a year ago, remember that I really thought the Colts might be in on Stafford.
Yeah.
I thought it could have been perfect for them.
Which Titans fans need to be thankful that didn't happen.
Yeah. Now, maybe at the time there would have been some sweaty celebrations among Titans fans.
It could be.
You know, but that would have been bad. Yeah. If Russell Wilson, and again, I just thought this the whole time, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, probably going back to their respective teams. I don't know. Kyler Murray? Kyler Murray's bad.
Well, maybe.
Kyler Murray is erasing all the social media. What is that? So I don't really understand. I haven't seen much of an explanation. I guess he's taken a lot of the blame for the playoff loss, and he's mad about it.
I guess so.
But I think that's just speculation. I haven't seen anything solid on that. It's weird, though.
Well, you're the quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, that's what happens when you lose.
Exactly. Too much blame, too much credit. Always true. But I don't know, maybe he is begging out of there. I mean, it's limited, but I guess if you're a Titans fan looking at the Colts, looking at making that move, then you have to think, okay, then what's next? When the other shoe means what?
Yeah.
Maybe the genius Chris Ballard has a plan.
Well, maybe so. I mean, the Kyler Murray part of this, Pro Football Talk put out a statement from the Cardinals. It says, quote, nothing has changed regarding our opinion and high regard for Kyler Murray. We as a team and Kyler individually have improved each year he's been in the league. We're excited to continue that improvement in 2022 and are excited that Kyler Murray is the quarterback leading us. That was the statement put out there by Arizona. So
why? What is the reason?
I don't know.
Wonderful statement. What?
Put out there.
We're very excited.
I guess they're trying to massage his ego a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah.
That whole thing with Kyler Murray, it's weird. It's like, you know what? I'm upset. I'm going to go delete everything about the Cardinals on my Instagram. What a time we live in.
The thing about him is, like, he actually, you know, we had the A.J. Brown thing last week with the Padres, which is fun.
Yeah.
But, like, Kyler Murray would actually be of high interest.
He's a first-round pick.
Yes. So, maybe sick of getting beat going to play for the A's. Maybe sick of getting hit, you know?
I don't know. I look at the Colts. Unless you're drafting someone that you just love and you're going to take over as a starting quarterback, I don't know what the quarterback options that we know are available out there that make you any better than Carson Wentz at this point. Unless, I guess, maybe the Colts have had some conversations with the Seahawks. I don't know.
Well, I guess you could look at it because you mentioned Jameis Winston, and the issue there is, like you said, I mean, you talk about some death interceptions. You know, obviously you've had a couple with Jameis Winston. I guess you could look at it if you're the Colts, like, look, got to get someone who's just safer. You got to get someone who a little bit more of a game manager who just isn't going to lose games for us, which he did. He lost the game to the Titans, you know, with a couple horrific plays. One for the TD, but then, of course, the overtime pick to Byer. So who would that be? Maybe not an elite guy, but someone who maybe isn't quite as talented as Wentz, but makes fewer mistakes. Who's that?
I don't know. Marcus?
Matt Ryan?
What, you talk about cap hit.
Yeah.
He's got the number one cap in the league. They do have money.
They got money.
They do have money.
If they love Matt Ryan, I don't know. I mean, that's one of very few names that I can summon here.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Ben from Cumberland City texting in. Says, Colts fan here, not a fan of Wentz, but moving him at this point does more long-term damage than keeping him. We already lost a first-rounder for him. Any big deal takes too much draft capital long-term and money. I'd say ride it out and hope for a better future draft position. I don't feel any other quarterback, but maybe Wilson, if Rodgers is staying in Green Bay, is better. I don't know if I fully endorse Wilson or Rodgers, though. This coming from Ben from Cumberland City. Then maybe more long-term damage than good moving on from Carson Wentz this year.
Well, and maybe he'll respond and play better next year. But I mean, you shouldn't question whether Russell Wilson is better than Carson Wentz.
Yeah, the answer is pretty clear.
He is, and Aaron Rodgers, I think, we'd all agree on that. So, but yeah, it's just we'll see. It's one report. I'm not seeing anything out of Indy that's refuting it, and certainly the way Irsay and Ballard have talked about Wentz, it's very different from the conversation here around Tannehill.
Yes,
very
it has.
Very different.
It's been quite different. Ron on the text line says, good morning. If you had to bet on one of the Super Bowl teams to make it back to the Super Bowl in 5 years, who would you choose? You going Rams or Bengals? Rams could get back there next year.
They could get right back there.
I'm going
but
Bengals.
I think I might go Bengals too, just because like they just have – I mean, their best players are on rookie deals.
Yeah.
So they are going to have a chance here to fix things and build around those guys while they're still on those contracts. And the Rams' best players are not on rookie deals. Very, very much not on rookie deals. But, and I don't know what Robert Woods' contract situation is. I assume Beckham is probably somewhere else. And have we heard about the severity of the knee injury yet?
I'm not, but it looked – I don't want to play doctor here, but ACL is the first thing I thought of.
I know. I hope it's just like a sprain or
something.
You know?
Same knee, too.
Yeah. But Woods, you know, if you have Woods and Kupp next year and Akers and Aaron Donald, that would be important.
Yeah,
to have
too.
Aaron Donald. Yeah, that could be it. They're going to be right there if they have their great players. But I would bet on the Bengals at some point because I didn't think Joe Burrow didn't step up yesterday. I mean, I thought he was very good.
Yeah.
As he's been all along. He's probably just gonna get better. And you give him protection and watch out.
Coming up next, the Nashville Predators with a pretty big glaring issue right now since they've come back from the All-Star break. Can they fix it? We'll get to that coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You know, when we're in those situations, we're doing a pretty good job. Now, the challenge right now is obviously the penalties. And, you know, it's something that particularly the last two games has certainly cost us games. And, you know, I think that's the challenge for the players, and it's also the challenge for the coaches. Now, this isn't something that can continue to move forward and go the way that it is. I know we have high-character guys. We have guys that care and compete. But, you know, we're going to continue, you know, as coaches, as, you know, we review them. Yesterday we sat in the room for 15 minutes and reviewed every penalty in Dallas and against Edmonton, Dallas, and Vancouver, certain situations that, you know, maybe are unavoidable penalties or penalties that are going to happen in the game, and then other ones that are – they're careless, their lack of attention to detail. So, you know, we're certainly but tonight I think we're going to have to go through the same situation again when we get back together. And, you know, that's the challenge. Like, that's the point in that's the thing in our game right now that we have to get it fixed. No different than anything else when you get in those situations. And, you know, that's what our challenge is, and we got to meet the challenge here.
That was Preds head coach John Hines after the game on Saturday for the Predators, a 5-2 loss to the Winnipeg Jets. And Joe, it was interesting. I was at the game Saturday, and the post-game press conference between Ekholm and Hines, literally the only thing got talked about was the penalties. And, you know, you could sense, not from the line of questioning, but just from the fact that the penalties continue to be an issue, Ekholm is fed up with the penalty part of this. And he was pretty frustrated after the game the other night. And because I think it's pretty clear, right now when they're 5-on-5, they're fine. I mean, I thought they were going to run Winnipeg out of the building the other night. They got up 2-0. It was a very similar start to the Dallas game in terms of, I mean, they had the puck the whole first period for the most part. They're up 2-0. They could have scored 2 or 3 more times and made it 4 or 5-0 in the first period. UC Saros made an incredible save on a 2-on-0 shorthanded breakaway for the Jets the other way. And then Ryan Johansson gets called for, honestly, what I thought was kind of a ticky-tack interference penalty on the faceoff. He goes to the box on a power play, and it's 4-on-4, and Scheifele just destroys one. All of a sudden, it's 2-1. And from that point on, I mean, it was a parade to the penalty box in the second period once again for the Predators, and they got scored on a couple times on the power play throughout the game. Mark Borowiecki gets called for a hit to the head with an elbow. He gets tossed from the game. That's a 5-minute major, so they scored a couple power play goals on that. 5-on-5, they're fine right now, but the penalties, we talked about it last week after the Dallas game. It's a gigantic issue for this team, and it's starting to catch up to them. They're losing games for really no other reason right now than the penalties that they're taking.
It is different, though. Like this game, you had majors that crushed you, right? So yep. Sometimes more of the penalties that you're like, okay, well, you can live with. Sometimes someone's going to take a run on one of your guys. You're going to stand up for them or whatever the case may be. But we can see, obviously, that can be very damaging too. And then, obviously, you had, you know, the previous game, it was a bunch of stick penalties that you just can't have. It just like with anything, like when the power play was bad and it's like you try everything, you switch. Here, you're in charge. Oh, now you're in charge of the power play. Let's try this and try that and this combination. It just, you could tell there was no confidence in it and they were never going to figure it out, right?
Yep.
Or whatever it is with a team. Sometimes your three-point shooting goes dead and it's like it just contagious. I wonder if that's what this is, you know, to some extent. I don't know. I mean, it's a weird thing for it to be like that, but it is like you start. And then I also feel like maybe it hurts your penalty kill when there's so much talk about the penalties that it's almost like you're, you know, it's like you're doomed when you do commit one. And then everyone just, you know, slumps down when someone goes to the box. I don't know. Could that be affecting them psychologically on the PK?
I think it could, but I mean, I think part of it is your penalty killers are exhausted. I mean, they're out right there the whole time. I mean, they're out there for half the game the other night trying to kill off the penalty. I mean, you can't win that way. And Ekholm was talking about it after the game. Again, Mattias Ekholm, by the way, after pretty much any situation, love that guy. He's awesome to talk to. He just tells you how it is. And after the game, he's like, you know, it's frustrating. We keep talking about it. You know, at some point, we're going to have to step up in here and not do it. But you also can't play scared. Like, you can't be just afraid to death of taking a penalty out there either. So it's a, you know, it's a tough balance. And there were more, you know, Luke Cunningham basically jumped a guy the other night after Cousins got hurt, got a penalty for that, for instigating. You know, Borowiecki with the elbow. I mean, there were different type penalties. They had a couple stick fouls in there too, but different type penalties in this game. So it's not exactly the same as it was in the Dallas game, but this is one of those situations where, I mean, the Predators really have not had one glaring issue all season long outside of the penalties. And right now, they just can't get out of their own way. Like, these are two games against Dallas and Winnipeg that, quite frankly, 5-on-5, they had no business losing, and they dropped them. You know, it doesn't look like that big of a deal in the standings right now, but it is. I mean, you factor in, you've now dropped to third in the Central, which, you know, we knew was going to happen at some point anyway with the games in hand that Minnesota has. All of a sudden, Dallas is 8 points behind you, and they've got two games in hand. Winnipeg wins the other night. You know, they've got three games in hand, and they're, you know, 12 points behind it. They've still got some ways to go in terms of the distance, but, you know, you can't allow Dallas in particular to get back in this conversation here. And the Predators, I feel like, have blown two opportunities in these past couple of games based on nothing else but the penalties. And by the way, look at the schedule they got coming up the next three games. Really, the rest of this month. You got Washington tomorrow, who's a really good team. Carolina, who's awesome, as we know. Probably the best team in the league right now in Florida coming up next week. And then you got Dallas and Tampa Bay. Now, that's a heck of a schedule they got coming up, too. And you just let two get away because it's really nothing else but the penalties.
Yeah. No, it's not great. You get St. Louis, fourth place, you know, a point back, but they've got two games in hand. So everybody around you is, again, the, you know, Avalanche 9-0-1, Wild 8-1-1. So they're starting to, you know, the Wild are ahead of you with five games in hand. Everybody's playing well, you know, and you've been sort of just so-so, and that's absolutely the number one culprit. Now, does that mean they have a, you know, they have a two-penalty game and they're going to, that's a guaranteed W? No, not especially not with this schedule coming up, but it would sure help.
Well, that's the thing. Like, it's one thing to put Dallas and Winnipeg on the power play, and that's, you know, look, they've got some good weapons on the power play. You put Ovechkin on the power play seven times tomorrow, let me know how that works out for you. It's not going to go well, I can pretty much tell you. So the schedule is part of this, too, is you cannot take penalties against teams that have players that can just absolutely kill you on the power play. And, you know, I know I had somebody tweet me the other night about UC Saros. I was like, well, Saros has given up four goals against Dallas. I gave up five the other night against Winnipeg. I was like, yeah, you know, it's not the problem right now. Gotta get out of the box. Stay on the –
It hurts him.
It hurts him, for sure.
Because that's all – some people just – you know, it's like quarterback. Got the goalie.
Yeah.
But, I mean, how many of those nine goals would you put on Saros? One?
Maybe one. Maybe.
I mean, you know, it's really ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it's a problem. Right? And look, to the Predators' credit, this is really the first time we've had to talk about a big problem that they've had all season, which, you know, you're 50 games in at this point. So that's a good problem to have. And as Ekholm pointed out, it's not like this is just something that you can't fix. Some of it is you just got to be smarter out there with your stick fouls in particular. But even like the Borowiecki thing, I mean, you catch a guy with the elbow to the side of the head, you can't do that. And I understand the guy ducked, and it's a fast game, and oftentimes it's not quite as simple as the, oh, well, he threw his elbow up and hit somebody. Like, things happen in the NHL, just like things happen in the NFL. So it's not always that simple, but you just got to be aware. Like, it's a 2-2 game in the third period the other night, and that penalty puts them on the power play for 5 minutes. It's a major penalty. The game's over at that point. Like, you get a major penalty, no matter how many times you score on the power play, you're not coming out of the box.
Stay in there.
So, I mean, that was the difference in the game the other night. I fully believe if that game remained 5-on-5 in the third period, Predators win that game.
Yeah. I think you're probably right. I mean, that's the first time. Pretty amazing stat, by the way. First time they were 17-0 leading after the first period.
Yeah.
First time they've lost leading after the first. And to your point, your penalty killers are exhausted. But then just everything is totally out of whack, too.
Yeah.
Like, you just can't do what you like to do, and you don't have guys you want on the ice as much as you need them on the ice to sustain offense. So they know the problem. It's an interesting – I've always wondered, like, when that's your problem, like, what do you do to fix it other than, guys, stop? Because in the moment, it's very easy to get a penalty in hockey.
Sure. Well, and you're going to get penalties. Like, you can live with having, you know, three penalties a night. You can't get into 6 and 7. Like, that's a pretty easy formula to get beat. And, you know, I'm here to tell you, called shot. They go to the box 6 or 7 times against Washington, they're going to get destroyed tomorrow.
Ugly.
So don't do that.
It'll be ugly.
When we come back, it is time for the Rex Rant. Joe Rex Rhodes Rant of the Week coming up on the other side. We'll get to that coming up next. Let me tell you about my friends at Jasper's. Jasper's is a casual restaurant and bar located on West End Avenue, equipped with TVs, a game room available for private events, a grab-and-go market, and free parking. Yep, we know what a big deal that is in downtown Nashville. This neighborhood spot is Nashville's new go-to restaurant and bar. You can try their selection of elevated bar food ranging from appetizers to awesome chicken sandwiches to flatbread pizzas and the famous Smash Burger, as well as any of their delicious cocktails. So visit my friends at Jasper's, located at 1918 West End Avenue, and tell them that Robbie Stanley sent you. You know what? In retrospect, kind of a big missed opportunity last night from the NFL. You could have just had Creed out there doing the halftime show.
I mean, they're going to get it soon, I'm sure, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, the halftime show was great last night, but if you think it's better than Scott Stapp and company swinging around like we saw back in 01 on that video of the Thanksgiving Day halftime show, I got news for you. Nothing's better than that.
Creed should be like the Super Bowl halftime house band. Yeah, they should just get the assignment every year.
Yeah.
When, by the way, that awful, awful footage of their awful music at halftime of – was that like a Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Is that what that was?
Yeah. Okay. Like 01, 02 maybe.
I hope they got a turducken for that.
They probably did. Great stuff. Yeah. Scott Stapp setting the mood here. Joe Rexroad's second mute of the day, by the way. Scott Stapp setting the mood here on the program for the Rex Rant, Joe Rexroad's Rant of the Week. You can check it out every Monday morning at 7:45. Joe Rexroad, your Rex Rant for this week, this nice Valentine's Day. About to set the mood.
Oh, yeah. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. So I actually have three things. This is sort of a smorgasbord, okay, of little mini rants.
I like it.
First of all, I have to address this. Coming in this morning, I saw this. And Tom Shad, buddy, works for USA Today, who's over in Beijing. I saw it from him first. But so Kamala Valieva, the Russian 15-year-old figure skater in PEDs, which is shocking that a Russian athlete. No way.
We've never seen this before.
Incredible. So the IOC, so she's cleared to participate. But if she wins a medal, there will be no medal ceremony. So, again, you got 24 figure skaters, Russia, U.S., Japan, won medals, okay? But because of that, if she is one of the medalists, the other 23 don't get a medal ceremony. Yeah. So thank you for coming to Beijing. We'll quietly, secretly mail you your medal. Yeah. And don't ever speak of this again. Like, right. This is how stupid the IOC is. So please, again, Let me just throw in a little mini rant on the IOC. Just a complete bleep show as usual. Okay. I'm going to end on a more positive note. Okay. I'm going to tell an officiating story here with, again, the disclaimer that I very much appreciate all officials and even the officials in like the SEC who need to get a lot better, and you know, and when they make mistakes, you know, they're under a microscope. It's not easy. It's very easy to complain about it. In college, you got to invest in it more. That's a huge problem. That's college athletics' problem, not understanding that you need more resources to have better officiating. But at the rec level, the youth level, everybody who does this, I've done it before, and
rec
it's not easy. Yeah, and, you know, I've been screamed at. And you know what? It's not easy, so I appreciate them. But this is what happened. I'm going to give a very abridged version of a basketball game, okay, this weekend, with 3 points that should not have counted. It was actually an amazing moment. But 3 points that should not have counted for one team. And so the official and a coach were going at it, right? And the official got upset. They correctly took the 3 points off the board.
Yeah.
And the official got so upset with the coach for whatever he was saying, which I don't know, that he said, put the 3 points back on the board.
Just put them on there, man.
And the team that got those 3 points won by 1 point in a rec league playoff game. Ugh. So you can't
just
do that.
Just awarding points?
Right. Like, I appreciate all officials. And if you're upset and you don't feel like you got respect enough, then you know what you do? You assess a technical foul.
Yes.
You tee up the coach, and the other team could get 2 points out of that. You do not say, I mean, why not just give him 10?
Yeah.
Give that team 10 points. This guy is pissing me off. I mean, what?
It's like a Harry Potter house point system. Yeah, 10 points to Gryffindor. Put him on there.
I mean, like, what God, are we doing? And again, that was a good reference. Like, you get into these, sometimes adults get into these things, and then they cost the kids, you know? So that really isn't
Joe,
fair.
would you tee coaches up?
You gave a technical?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and so, actually, so in youth, I mostly umpired, so it's not the same thing. But I officiated rec hoops at Michigan State.
Oh, boy.
And actually, I almost got into a fist fight with another one of my refs who was reffing my game, who sucked. But yes, I teed people up and got screamed at, and it's so I've been on both sides of it. And then you start yelling at a ref, and you're like, well, "What are you doing? Like, you hate when people do this."
Yeah.
And then you gotta.
Joe, you just get too into it.
That's been a big problem in my life. I'm a big, big yeller at officials when I'm playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
When other people are playing, I don't really care.
Yeah, it's no, I'm not. It's been a problem for me too. So look, again, appreciate you. But you can't just make up rules and like give teams points because you're mad at somebody.
No, you cannot.
All right, my last one. On a more positive note, I want to give a shout out here, okay, to Woodland Middle School in Brentwood. They are the world champions of competitive cheer at their age group. World champions. They won it in Orlando this weekend. I know this. We have a family member. Shout out Kelly Matwijic, part of that team. But it's a pretty impressive performance and achievement. And it brings up another rant that I have, which is anyone who would ever say that competitive cheer is not a sport. Anyone want to say that right now? Because I will absolutely go off on you. Golf is a sport, and it is a sport. But if you can have my body or worse in polyester pants and walk on a big, long, hit a little ball. Like, I love John Daly. Great golfer.
Supreme athlete.
But, dude, if you can crush beers and, like, peanut M&M bags by the bagful and still be really good at the sport, okay, it is a sport. Don't tell me competitive cheer is a sport. In fact, I would say competitive cheer is one of the most difficult sports in the world.
Thank you, Rex Road.
Well, I know for sure it's one of the, like, if you go by, like, concussion rankings, it's like football. Competitive cheer. That was like your top two.
Really?
Seriously.
Listen, I was a competitive cheerleader, and you should have seen me in high school and middle school. When somebody would tell me cheerleading was not a sport, I would get so fired up. It's insane. Go look on YouTube, like, competitive cheerleading world champions. You'll just, it's like 3 minutes of just flipping and twisting and throwing. Right. It's insane.
Right. I mean, basically, it's very close cousins with gymnastics, right? Yep. So, how many people can even do it? Like, anybody can go out there and try to play golf. You may stink, but, like, you can go do the sport. You can go play tennis. You can go shoot a basketball. I mean, you can go try to drive a car fast around a track. And, by the way, that's a sport, too. Okay, I think anything.
Bowling?
Yes, bowling is a sport. Yeah, darts is a sport. I'm like, I have a
competitive
big,
eating.
Yes, absolutely.
Don't just.
I have a big definition of what sports is, but how you could possibly say that this isn't a sport? Like, most people wouldn't even try this. They would die if they tried it.
I would.
And not to mention, like, who can even get to their 30s and do it? Like, gymnastics, same thing. Like, your prime is like once you get to, like, 23, you're out
old.
So it is a sport. It's a great sport. It's a very difficult sport. And we have a local team that just won the world championship in Orlando. So shout out to Woodland Middle School. Pretty good. You know, you throw that in with what do you have, 3-4 guys who won rings, including Van Jefferson getting a, having a baby and a ring. So good week for Nashville sports.
Yeah, I would say so. Showing up on the national stage. I will say, when I was at Hendersonville High School, I mean, we had decent football team, decent basketball team, decent baseball team. Best two sports by far, cheerleading and our dance team. Like, national champions. Nope. Really good.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. Really good.
Also, Independence Cheerleading. We just had Shane Call, or Independence High School. They just won down in Orlando as well. So,
All right. Shout out to them. See, that's the problem when you start you start shouting out and then you.
Oh, we're just killing it in this area, apparently.
Apparently. But you don't want to forget somebody. So I'm glad they called in. Thank you.
I like the smorgasbord Rex Rant, going like hopping from subject to subject. Yeah. This may have to be a new thing.
Rex Rant notes.
Come up with more ideas. Like, just have more things to rant about.
Well, there's a Rex rap coming. I just, boy. I mean, I had one
ready.
Did
you get inspired last night?
A little bit, yeah.
Wish Katie videoed you watching.
Yeah, were you rapping while the performance is going on last night?
I really wasn't. I was focusing, but I definitely had permigrin. I mean, I was bobbing my head with a permigrin. But Katie and I have seen Snoop Dogg in concert. Yeah. By the way, he smoked that night.
I bet he did.
But that was a nice outdoor concert. So we were both rocking out and feeling old. But
you guys are cool, though. You're cool. Like, you guys went to Snoop Dogg. That's cool.
Oh, yeah, we are cool. No question.
Yeah, there's
so I can call you cool, but then you can't say you are cool. Yeah,
I can confirm.
Hello, fellow kids.
Hello there, fellow young people.
Yeah, hey, we also had a 90s party this weekend.
Oh boy.
Yeah, you told me that this morning, and I was like, you guys have more of a social life than I do.
We should have invited you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next time we do a 90s party, we'll invite you. We didn't do it. We went to one, but we were cool at that, too. We were especially cool at the 90s party. That was, you know, right in the wheelhouse. Yeah. Real quick, I got to tell you about the 90s party.
Okay.
So our friends put it on. It was they did a nice job with a lot of stuff. We actually watched House Party, too, for part of the party.
Okay.
They loaded up with fruit roll-ups. They had a bunch of stuff like awesome. Ring Pops and stuff. I had like 10 fruit roll-ups. I couldn't stop. And I eat fruit roll-ups when you ball them up. You know what I mean? Like you take them off the plastic, then ball it up and just one. I mean, I seriously made myself sick on fruit roll-ups this weekend. That's how cool I am.
That's awesome. This has been the Rex Rant. You can check it out every Monday morning at 7:45 here on Robbie and Rex Road. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.